Tonight I want to bring my second message on soul winning. This morning we looked at the word soul, and taking each of the letters that go to make up that word, we spoke upon the soul winner and his work for Christ. I want tonight to take up the word winner and take it up in the same way, taking each of the letters that go to make up the word, and get out of this the lessons that I believe that God would have us to learn. Winner starts with the letter W. W stands for wisdom. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. What about testing yourself on that rule of God? Who are wise? Those that win souls. The fruit of the work of the soul winner goes back and takes us to the tree of life in Eden's garden. Here growth was exalted and glorified. Here is a look forward to the eternal future. Be sure and contrast the two gardens, the Garden of Eden and the Garden of Gethsemane. And as you set them both beside one another, you will see the difference. But you will also see the unity. The work of wisdom, he that winneth souls is wise. Are you wise each day of your life to sow the seed of the gospel and seek the coming about of a harvest from the seed sown? The work of wisdom. There are many churches engaged in many things, but today the church of Jesus Christ has lost the great art of fishing for precious souls. And the great and wonderful work of bringing men and women to Christ and to see them reconciled to God. All other wisdom will perish with this life. But this wisdom will last forever as long as the lifetime of God. So every believer should be strong and courageous to enter into a life working the wisdom of God by winning souls for the Savior. Dear child of God, how many souls have you won in your Christian life for the Savior? By the giving out of a gospel tract, by a word of testimony, by real believing prayer for the soul that you want it to win. And by continual and a not giving up resolution that you will not give up until the person you're seeking to win is won for Christ. Oh, that this church, oh, that you're my brother and sister in Christ, would set yourself to the work of wisdom. He that winneth souls is wise. The eye of a winner emphasizes the individual. It is the work of the individual to bring souls to Christ. And it is only as we have the individuals multiplied that we will see a great harvest of precious souls. I don't know who you meet every day, but I know you have a responsibility if you meet people every day regularly to clear your skirts of that person's blood. Because at the day of judgment, child of God, you will have to answer what you did with the talent that God gave you. Were your lips sealed? Did you talk like anybody else about the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the things of time or sense? Did you ever bring to the attention of the individuals that you meet that there's a heaven to be gained and a hell to shun? Let me tell you, the blood of souls are on us all if we're not faithful in testifying, in praying, in giving out literature, and asking God to bless our weak attempts as they are. But God can make them strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The work of the individuals. The work of the one by one people going out. We read about the sower. He went out alone to sow the seed. How much seed did you sow this week to the folks that you met and talked to? Or did you leave them after a talk about politics, about our country, about the terribleness of unemployment and so on and so forth? Or was there a voice that you raised to say, what about eternity? If you really believe that if a person is not saved, they will be in a burning hell of God's judgment forever when they die. If you really believe that, surely you should be stirred to the very depths of your heart to save souls from the darkness of hell. Follow me, said Jesus, and I will make you fishers of men. Give us room that we may dwell. Zion's children cry aloud. See their numbers, how they swell. how they gather like a cloud. Go and tell the joyful story. 'Tis the day of Zion's glory. Oh, how bright the morning seems, brighter from so dark a night. Zion is like one that dreams, filled with wonder and delight. Zion's night of grief is ended. Zion of her God befriended. Zion, now arise and shine. Lo, thy light from heaven is come. These that crown from far are thine. Give thy sons and daughters room. Sorrow from thy cup is taken. Thou shalt be no more forsaken. Lo, thy sun goes down no more. God himself will be thy light. All that caused thee grief before, buried lies in endless night. Earthly pomp is short and wasting. Thine is glory everlasting. Are you working for everlasting glory? Or the everlasting confusion of souls that you met and failed to be clear of their blood? The third letter is the first N in the word winning. And that's the work of all nations who know God, and all people in those nations that know God. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, we read these words. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. But how will you understand the Scriptures if you have not read the Scriptures? I'm amazed at Christians who carry a Bible with them, but they never open it. They never study it. They never spend time to see what it's saying. And Jesus said, thus it is written, that it behoveth Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Have you witnessed about these things? And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The whole world has a right to hear the gospel message. God has put that message into the hearts, into the mind, and into the souls of his people. All nations of the whole earth is the field of the soul winner. Do you look upon yourself as under orders from God to be a soul winner? Or do you say, that's all right for the minister, that's all right for the elders, that's all right for the Sunday school teachers, but I'm counted out. No, friend, you're counted in. And what a sad day if you're going to be saved in heaven so as by fire. You just go and search for that scripture in your Bible. People saved so as by fire. People saved by the skin of their teeth. Just in and no more. God has called us to a solemn work. The first end in this world, word winner, encloses the whole earth. Nobody is to be missed. All are included. The whole world is the parish of the man who is a fisher of men for Jesus. The embrace of our gospel is all nations. The nail-pierced hand of Christ includes the entire globe. The trumpet of the inspired word of the living God comes out to all. Isaiah 34 and verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear. And hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is there in the world, and all that come forth of it. How miserable the church is in its terrible failure to do what God wants them to do. God's not asking you to do an impossible thing. He's asking you to speak a word for Jesus. And surely, knowing what Jesus has done for your soul, and knowing the power of His cleansing blood, and the wonder of His salvation, surely you should be eager to carry out in obedience the commands of the Lord. The second end in this word winner is negation of all false religion. Why have we false religions today? Because the Christian church are not busy spreading the simple gospel. When you go home tonight, take up your Bible, turn to Psalm 57, verses 8 to 11, and read it carefully. And God is calling. He's making a wake-up call. He's saying, awake up my glory. Awake! The time has come for the church of Jesus Christ to awaken. We're sleeping. We're sleeping while lost souls pass our front door every day. They're headed in the wrong direction. Not to heaven are they going. They're going to hell. Not to light are they going. They're going to darkness. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. How will that happen? When false religions collapse and the pure, simple gospel is declared. Paul says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Are you a shining light? Or are you a smoking candle? What is it? I have been amazed when I have visited in homes and I have inquired about the neighbors, and the answer has been in the negative. The person living next door to their neighbors surely should have a concern for their neighbor's salvation. We meet with our neighbors. We talk to them. We pass the time of day every day. And yet there's a dark crimson upon our own skirts. What is it? It's the blood of their souls. We haven't reached them. We haven't prayed for them. If you start praying for your neighbor, you'll start speaking to your neighbor. You'll start testifying to your neighbor. But if your neighbor is unprayed for, that neighbor can pass your door twice, three times every day and never hear from you one word of gospel invitation. I tell you, if ever the church needed to be shaken, it needs to be shaken today. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. And then we come to the letter E. And I was thinking about that letter E. And I was thinking about something that men do that eat up all their energies. The sportsmen have dedicated themselves to the sport they love. And their energies are eaten up to forward and advance them in that particular arena. Oh, would to God that God's children had their energies eaten up with the fact that they've got to clear their hearts of the blood of the lost. Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, worked the apostles very hard. It was no holiday camp that the Lord ran. And when the day was finished, have you ever noticed? The Son of God climbed himself the lonely hill and prayed all night. Where were his disciples? Sleeping. Isn't that like the church today? We have sleeping sheep in the pen, and the shepherd is on the mountainside. And Jesus said to them one day, "You're all feeling tired. Well, come ye apart and rest a while." Jesus Christ, when he was in the body of his humiliation, fell asleep on the boat after the burden and heat of the day. So tired was the Son of God that the storm could not awaken. Hello, his feet were been lapped by the waves that had broken over the side of the sheep. And they wake him, and they didn't say to him, "Lord, are you not afraid? You're going to sink and be drowned." But you know what they said? "Carest thou not that we perish?" Their business was number one. As long as they were all right, it didn't matter about the tired Savior lying on the boat floor. It didn't matter. As the Lord looks down upon us, what does he see? Does he see mouths that are never opened for himself? Or does he see mouths that are filled with his word and each day reiterate that word to dear unsaved ones? And with all the passion of heart, warn the lost of their need to be saved by the grace of God. Until we are devoured in our very souls to do this work, it will never, ever be done. And we come to the letter R, the work which rewards the greatest gains. I know no other work so satisfying as the work of winning souls for the Lord. Fear not, said the old prophet Isaiah, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. The gospel bread cast upon the waters shall return to us after many days. The greatest gains will be ours on the day when God hands out the rewards. We who have cast our bread on the waters will find it after many days, and it will be unleavened bread turned into the finest of the wheat. God encourages us to sow the seed in the morning. God encourages us not to withhold our hand, for a certain harvest we shall have. Ecclesiastes 11:6. Make a note of it. Read it every day and see the promise that God has made to his people. Zion's king shall reign victorious. All the earth shall own his sway. He will make his kingdom glorious. He will reign from endless day. What though none on earth assist him, God requires not help from man. What though all the world resist him, God will realize his plan. Nothing can stop God from bringing in all those that he intends to bring in to the great marriage supper of the Lamb. He that turneth many to Christ shall shine as the stars forever and ever. Will there be any stars in your crown? You can start tonight by a dedication of your heart to the Lord, that the first and primary thing in your life from tonight will be to see men and women, especially your families and your friends and your neighbors, won for Jesus Christ. If we all put all our weight to that, what a difference it would make in church life. What a difference it would make in the street in which we live. The house where we spend most of our time. Oh, tonight, God is looking for those that will be winners of souls. The darkest life can be enlightened by the gospel. The toughest sinner can be broken by the power of God. The most awful wretch of the devil can be transformed by the power of the precious blood. God calls us all to rededicate ourselves to this impossible task, humanly speaking, but possible, divinely speaking. And we can see in our day the salvation of souls. Oh, that God would light a candle in Ulster that shall never be put out. A candle of man and woman burning for God, and in the darkness showing man and woman the light which leads to the very light of God itself. And could I say to the believers here, you know, as you look back in your life, that there were a few people who loved your soul, and they loved your soul to its salvation. And you could say, I'm saved because those people prayed for me. They gave me gospel tracts. They wept for me. They invited me to gospel meetings. They always spoke seriously to me about the time I would have to leave this earth and stand at God's judgment bar. And you're saved because they were faithful. You should reward their faithfulness by being faithful to everyone you contact, and not leave them until they know the power of salvation. I have an opportunity to meet people. I'm glad that God has burned into me and my heart a desire to win them for Christ. And the highest in the land, to the lowest in the land, I have talked to them. I have talked to them seriously and solemnly about the Lord. I wear a little badge on my breast. It says, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Men say to me in the political world, Ian, why do you wear that badge? I wear that badge because that's my testimony. Jesus is my Lord. He took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay. He set my soul upon his rock. And he has established my way. Jesus is Lord. Do you not yearn that your Savior might be their Savior as well? Or are you prepared to pass them by? You have the remedy in your hand. You have the experience of that remedy in your heart. Willfully and sinfully you pass them by, and you as much as say, let them go to hell It's well Christ didn't say that about you and didn't say that about me, or we would have been forever and eternally lost souls. I call you tonight to give yourself afresh, dear child of God, to this work, the work of spreading the gospel. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Let's bow our heads. Amen. Father, tonight we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. And we pray that thou wouldst graciously take a dealing with us. We mourn our lack of zeal. We cry out for more zest, for more strength, for a baptism of power to do the will of God. And we pray, our God, we may be up and doing while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Lord, we pray for the lost ones here, that they may come to Christ. We pray for the backsliders here, that they may return unto the Lord. And we pray for your people, that we may all seek a baptism of Holy Ghost fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me a living, burning, shining light in the darkness of this sinful world. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, and shouted, hallelujah.